Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
Februane Cube.
If I don't recover these dark souls, then the world's gonna end.
You got it.
Shit.
Thumb cramps.
We did it! We're doing it!
It's happening right now!
And by it, we mean a brand new episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game review podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And it is still Februame Tube.
Can you do the GameCube music sound, please? That was awesome, dude. Yeah. That was like a guitar riff. I'll do it. Hang on.
It's only one bump at the end, actually.
Far out.
Yeah, good save. Yeah, and phew. Speaking of good saves, good guests, because today we are joined by Adam Carnevale.
Hello, thank you. And thank you, Jackson, for reminding me I can't swear.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome anytime.
I had forgotten.
It's family friendly. This podcast is family friendly.
It's safe for schools.
Yep.
And if we simply let a single F or Jeff through, we will be banned and our audience will be cut into one-fifth of what it currently
is. It's also safe for retirement homes, too. Not, we don't talk about that so often, but if you have a grandma, you can play this for her.
I'm a big fan of the dystopian nightmare that is a speaker in every home of the old, in every room of the old folks' home blaring this 24/7.
Absolutely.
You will listen in between episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how else are they going to get gaming news?
We're like 1984, but good. And today we are looking at Turok Evolution and other games. Jackson, can I get the famous?
I'm doing dog noises. I'm so excited I've become a dog.
That dog is sick. That's a sick dog. That's something
I'll do
wrong.
It again. Hang on, just say what's that dog barking at?
Hey, what's that dog barking at? Why am I asking what that dog's barking at when the dog's not barking?
Here, let me cue you up for it, all right? We'll do it again. I'll cue you up for it. Hey, your dog looks really sick, but is also really concerned with something's going on outside the window.
Why is that dog barking?
Seamless. Perfect.
The perfect scene.
An old nana sitting playing bingo or something like that, thinking to herself, that dog is sick.
That's a sick dog.
What that dog doing?
What that dog doing? Anyway, I'm just very excited.
He got that dog.
That dog in me, and the dog's going, I'm just very excited we're talking Turok.
Yeah,
I'm Turok.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to do that before, but instead you made sick dog barking. Turok, if you're unfamiliar, is a video game series.
Truly, it
starring
is.
Starring Turok.
Yes.
A dinosaur hunter. Uh-huh. And obviously on the Nintendo 64 and I believe PlayStation 1, we had Turok.
Mm-hmm.
Dinosaur Hunter, Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, and then Turok 3, Shadows of
Evolution?
Doubt.
Shadows of Doubt is a separate game.
Shadows of something.
Turok 3, Shadows of Oblivion.
Shadows of Oblivion, of course.
And then in 2002, a little gift comes from Acclaim Entertainment.
Yeah.
And that gift is Turok Evolution, a Turok prequel.
Whoa. Now,
you find out how Turok is Turok.
Did this also come out on the Xbox?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
But it's not the game just called Turok.
Oh, intriguing.
Because Turok Evolution is a prequel to the first three trilogies.
Yeah.
Well, the trilogy of Turok games.
Yeah.
And it was also meant to have a sequel, but it didn't quite sell that well. So instead, 6 years later, they rebooted Turok as Turok, and that bombed real hard.
Which, okay, then that's
but
probably the one I've
this Turok yeah. Is the one that we've spoken about a lot recently. Because, Adam, and listeners, just in case you've missed it.
I am a new rock, or yeah. New to Turok, as we call ourselves.
Yeah.
You're familiar well, with the video game production house Acclaim.
Yeah, Acclaim has been a sort of consistent theme for Thumb Cramps this year so far. It's come up a couple of times.
So, it is currently in the toilet. It no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
And that is because in the early GameCube era, mm-hmm. It made some questionable decisions, all marketing-based.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
One, turned Dave Mirra Freestyle BMX 3 into BMX XXX because people love horny stuff.
Yeah.
And that's a bad decision?
Well, yeah, because what happened,
Adam? Financially.
Actually, there's four things they did, yeah. All in the same period of time. So,
how many things did they turn into a porno version?
This is the only one they tried the porno version of.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's their first problem.
So the porno version of XXX, BMX XXX,
yeah.
Was so controversial that it wasn't able to be advertised anywhere because it was too porno.
Yeah.
PlayStation, Sony came out and said, you have to remove the nudity from this game. It's too porno.
Didn't it sell only...
It sold like 100,000 copies.
There's your ass.
Yeah, yeah.
Is Sony telling us to get the porno
we
out of our game?
We can't show you this game. It's too porno.
Then they also had Shadow Man Second Coming.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a porno game?
No.
Wasn't a porno game.
But they advertised it in an intriguing... They could advertise this one.
Yeah.
They put out... The marketing team said, hey, if you advertise our game on your real-life tombstone, we'll give you £10,000. And that got them in trouble as well.
That's like 20,000 Australian dollars.
Yeah. Too many people putting it on their tombstone. They lost a lot of money.
Why would you
not? Is that offer still up for grabs? Do we know?
No, unfortunately. And then they got in trouble with the UK government because on the release day of Burnout 2,
yeah.
Point of Impact, I'm pretty sure the subtitle of that game is, if you got a speeding ticket on the way to pick up the game, they would pay for it.
And that
the government said,
trouble.
Absolutely not.
Do you realize what you are encouraging?
Anyway, and the fourth one was, hey, if you legally change your name to Turok to celebrate the release of Turok Evolution, we'll give you £6,000.
I'm curious.
People did that, and then it came out that they were actors.
Oh.
I was going to say, you're getting less money for changing your full name rather than just advertising on your tombstone.
Would you change your name to Turok for it would be $12,000.
How much is it to change it back?
Yeah. How long do I have to do it for?
Yeah.
I think that you can only legally change your name once every certain amount of years.
So I'd be Turok for a while. Yeah, whatever.
You could be
is Turok. Is it dollars or pounds?
It was 6,000 pounds.
So well, that's...
Oh, I see. You've already done the conversion. Yeah.
No, I would do it in a heartbeat because, okay, I'm Turok Bailey. That's already funny. But also...
Do you have to change your name to Turok Bailey or do you have to change your name to Turok?
Can you just eliminate a surname?
I don't know.
I don't know if you can. But anyway, either way.
Two first name, Rock surname.
Because I'd just be like, yeah, okay, my name's legally Turok for $12,000, but you just call me Jackson.
Whoa.
And then it's like nothing happened.
$100 in 2002 was worth $147 in 2018.
So that's so like an extra 50%.
Yeah. So it will probably only gone up. So it's probably pushing close to $20,000 now.
I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Who cares? Well, it's funny to be called Turok. And it actually changes very little about my life.
Yeah, your day-to-day life won't change much.
Yeah.
I mean, a name change is a hassle in a lot of other ways.
Yeah, I think there would be tricky stuff where now I have to go get my passport and all of my details changed to
$20,400.
Yeah, I'd do it. Why not?
Yeah.
And put it on my tombstone, too.
Yeah, Turok died today.
How much money could you have made off Acclaim from beginning to end?
Can you make money off speeding somehow?
Well, yes.
Yeah, you could.
If you're doing a very specialized cab service, and while you're doing the cab service, you pick up a copy of Turok.
Yeah, exactly.
No, you only get... It was only on the release day of Burnout 2. You pick up Turok.
Oh, sorry, okay, Burnout
2. So if you say...
If you speed on the way to... Okay, you drive... Here's how you make the most amount of money in one day.
Yeah.
You drive to the name...
I'm a big fan of this ending with our death. I assume. I assume the death thing is at the end.
It's gotta happen at some point.
So you drive to births, deaths, marriages, or whatever, the legally change your name place. Change your name to Turok. That's 6,000 pounds.
Nice.
Nice.
Then you get in your car. You floor it to... Target to pick up Burnout 2. You get a speeding fine. Mm-hmm. You photocopy that speeding fine and say you got fined twice somehow. Try and pocket the extra money.
Okay, nice.
Then you jump off a cliff.
Oh, I see. Wait, are you saying because if you change your name, you can submit your original speeding ticket, a new speeding ticket.
That's
so
true.
So you've got to find a place where the name's birth, death, and marriages is in between your house.
Get a ticket on the way there. Get a ticket on the way back.
Pocket the second ticket. Baby.
And you've legally
changed.
That's rich. Yeah. And then you die, so you don't have to pay either anyway.
Yeah.
And
no.
Fake your own death.
Well, you can buy a tombstone before you die.
That's true.
That is true.
But I guess you
wouldn't. No law says you can't put up your tombstone and
early.
Have a tombstone early.
Well,
yeah.
Some people do that.
Yeah, that's what you see it just as the beginning.
It's Jeffed up.
Yeah, it is Jeffed up.
It is Jeffed up.
Because, like, it's sometimes you see it, especially with, like, elderly couples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they even have, like what's the. Like the epitaph.
Epitaph?
Epitaph, I thought.
Epitaph?
But I think that's just a pronunciation thing, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Epitaph?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you, I mean,
but
I
they have that there as well, thing, and they haven't even died.
Yeah, that's funny. It'll be like, beloved husband, father. What if it changes?
Yeah, what if I cheat on you?
I mean,
you're dead, so I can't now. Yeah.
I think it'd be especially funny if, I don't know how common this is in, for Italians, it's very common, but I don't know how common outside of that. But they get like a little marble picture. It's made out of marble, but it is a picture of you. To get that done early.
Oh, that's good.
That's funny.
Well, you want to be hot in your grave. You want people to just walk by and be like, whoa.
Even after you're dead,
they can pick any picture.
That is true.
You're Italian. Why don't you get yours done now?
Yeah.
Sure. Wow, because it's very expensive.
Yeah.
I'd need the speeding ticket money before I could get the tombstone money.
Well, presume... hang on. Because they would pay your speeding ticket for you, so presumably they weren't...
You're not getting the cash.
Yeah, I need the name money then.
Yeah.
Anyway, Turok Evolution. Played it on GameCube. It's a weird game.
Oh, yeah, like all GameCube games.
Yeah.
Is it an FPS?
Yes.
Yeah, that must be very strange, because does the GameCube controller doesn't have two joysticks?
Yes, it does.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
I didn't really ever play the GameCube, so I didn't know.
But it has...
What's the GameCube joystick?
It's like a big one and a little one.
There is a big one and a little one.
Yeah.
The little one's called the C stick.
Yeah, that's right, because it's an evolution
of
the C directional pad. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which stood for camera.
Oh!
That's why they call C buttons.
That's crazy.
Camera buttons.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
whoa, computer's listening to me. It knew I meant controller before I even put in the cube in GameCube.
So Adam's pulled up the GameCube controller, which I still think is a perfect controller.
It does look awesome.
Sure. Serviceable, I'd call that.
It's really the A button's big because you press it heaps. It's comfortable
B button's
for your thumb.
Smaller because you're pressing it less
and
often.
And it feels special when you press it.
Yeah.
How many like triggers does it have? The triggers look weird.
What's special when you press a clitoris? Yeah.
What's the trigger situation there? What is that?
There's a left button, there is a right button, there is a Z button.
There's three buttons.
Is the Z button underneath one of the...
No, the Z is where R1 would be on a PlayStation.
I can see, it's a lopsided controller. That's so strange. And then because you see the C, what do you call them?
C-stick.
It's so much smaller than the other one.
Yeah. Cool.
Gosh, that's crazy.
How does it compare to the other Turok games?
So
this is what fascinates me.
It still has the same thing of like the map being huge and it giving you absolutely no indication of what's going on.
That rules.
There is quite a big weapon variety and you can maim the dinosaurs. And Jackson, there is a feature in this game that you will adore.
Oh, I'm excited.
So you've got a bow and arrow.
Yeah, wonderful.
And I'll just use a general dinosaur soldier as an example here. So they have a gun.
Yeah.
You fire a bow and arrow into them.
The dinosaurs have guns?
Dinosaurs have guns.
They've had guns since Turok 2 Seeds of Evil and the Turok 1. Oh!
Oh no, he's got that dog in him and that dog in him is upset or happy.
Just sick.
Or coming.
Yeah. Who can say?
Dogs shouldn't make a noise when they come. That's my religious belief. So when you shoot an enemy with the bow and arrow, sometimes they surrender.
Oh,
so they drop their weapon and... It is pretty hectic to see this. So they drop their weapon and put their hands up. But if you walk up to them, they drop to their knees and put their hands behind their head. But they're dinosaur men.
Funny.
And Jackson, you can if you want.
Can violate the Geneva Conventions in Durok.
You sure can.
That's incredible.
If you just keep walking, do they get back up and attack you?
No.
Okay, so they are
stay,
done.
They stay surrendered. Because I thought that too. Because you can't pick up their, like, when you collect ammo or something like that, it doesn't change their gun from on the ground. And I was like,
dude,
they're going to shoot me in the back. No.
That's so
funny. I'm assuming that some might.
Yeah.
But yeah, the ones I've encountered, no. But also, there's also like dismemberment. So you can shoot their hands and legs and heads off.
That's so funny. I love stuff like that. I recently realized, obviously, been playing a lot of Fortnite.
Yeah.
That if somebody gets downed, like an enemy, I can carry them.
Yeah.
Nothing gives me more joy than just taking someone on an adventure.
If you travel either 50 or 100 meters while carrying them, you get extra experience.
Yeah,
too.
It happened to me. I took someone so far.
Take them to the end.
I did. I was just taking them on a journey. I was just laughing because I'm like, presumably they've got a friend they're playing with.
Yeah.
And also, like, he's taking him.
And also, while people are downed, they can't stop looking at their screen, which means that they're just watching you carry them around. I'm a big fan of, and this
made
is,
me laugh so much. Yeah,
this is less fun. Well, no, it's actually it's more cruel.
Yeah,
is like just carrying them and walking up to a cliff and then just throwing them off.
Well, I ended that guy's life by putting him in front of a train. I was like an old timey 1920s villain and watching him just crawl.
Yeah, as a train.
Such a journey to die so bad.
Very quickly, can you? So I know there's a timeout.
Hang on,
thing
wait a second. Is this an episode of Fortnite, Cramps?
Whoa!
I believe it is. It's a stealth one.
Welcome.
You can play Fortnite on GameCube.
Welcome to this week's episode of Fortnite, Cramps. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Adam.
And today we're talking carrying a downed opponent, putting them in front of a train.
Can I? So, yeah. I know when you're downed in Fortnite, or I assume, I guess when you're downed in Fortnite, there's a timeout thing where you bleed out and then you die.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way it works is that when you get downed, your health goes back up to full and then it slowly drains.
Slowly it ticks
away,
down.
Yeah.
But then if an ally comes to you and starts reviving you, does that give you extra time?
No, if you start the revive process and don't finish it, it stays the same.
It just, yeah.
So I think while you're getting revived,
you're kind of, it's like a new timer.
It pauses.
Yeah. Okay, so what I'm just thinking is, can you down someone and then if the game allows you to revive someone who isn't an ally of yours, how long can you have someone?
Unfortunately, you can't revive someone that isn't on your team.
Yeah. That would be so funny.
But I did manage to take them from one of the windmills along like a rope. Through
because
a town.
I think the funniest thing is to have taken someone from basically the beginning of the game and make them your last kill. I think is inherently so
that
funny.
That would be wonderful.
It is also pretty funny just to throw them into the storm.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff, dude.
It's really good stuff. Fortnite's good.
Fortnite's awesome.
Fortnite is awesome. I got a victory royale with a, you'll love this story.
Yeah.
We'd survived. The game had gone long enough that the storm circle was tiny when there was only three players left.
Nice.
And I killed one, but I was really badly hurt.
Oh, no.
And then I saw the final person. So I just got in an SUV and just kept running them over because they were trying to shoot me. But because the circle was so small, they couldn't get a head-on shot, which
is awesome.
The only way you take damage while you're in the car. So I was just driving in circles and they were trying to collect the stuff that...
That's crazy because I
person...
had the reverse of that recently. I don't think it was you.
I was about to say, what day?
Truly lunatic, but I had the reverse where it was me versus a guy in an SUV. But I think in the end I managed to take him out. But it was the same thing. The circle was tiny and he was just circling around and it's very scary.
Mm.
Yeah, because when you hit someone with a car, it does about a quarter of your total health damage.
Yeah.
So like you hit someone four times with a car, they're done.
Mm. Because I could see him as the circle was moving. I could see him just taking people out with his car. But I had like a turret and an ally with me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think we're going to be okay. Hell yeah. Fortnite rocks.
Anyway, Fortnite, five thumbs. And thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Fortnite, Cramps. I've been Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I've been Adam.
Great episode.
One of the best.
Turok Evolution, there's a couple of things that really date it. Like the fact that the levels are big, but there's a loading screen. There's like three or four parts to every level.
Yeah, okay.
So there's like a random...
Kind of like GTA 3 or Vice City, right?
No, more like they're not open world.
Yes,
a linear level, but you'll hit like an invisible wall that will trigger a loading screen.
Basically. More like Oblivion, or no, like Morrowind almost.
I think he's kind of describing a classic FPS.
Like, does Halo do that?
Halo used to. Infinite,
actually, to be honest, Turok 2 does that.
In the same level, though?
Yeah. You'll be in the level. You go. There'll be like a little loading screen to get between two places. I'm pretty sure. That'd be embarrassing if I've got that wrong.
Yeah.
So it'll like load the next part of the level.
But then do you have to backtrack sometimes? Like, can you go backwards?
I don't know if you can go backwards because in the levels I've played, there is no backtracking.
Okay. Does it also give, like in Turok 2, it's like, save the crying children.
None of that yet, but the level I just got up to, because it doesn't tell you what to do, obviously.
Of course.
why would it give you any
instructions? Directions?
Yeah.
No. People will remember that 2 weeks ago, I was talking about Time Splitters 2.
Yeah.
And I guess last week with Star Fox.
True.
They both give you, like, an objective, but it is just basically nonsense. And you're like, I don't really know what the game wants me to do. Like, Time Splitters 2, you start a level and it'll be like, damage communications. And I'm like, where Star Fox will be like, you gotta go speak to the Warp Stone. And I'm like, who the hell is the Warp Stone?
Who or what? What do you mean?
It's pulling an old-fashioned fantasy on you.
Yeah, true.
This game doesn't tell you anything. The loading screen has a little bit of information about what's coming up. It'll be like, you've got to push through the jungle. It's like, oh, okay.
Is that really a hint?
Just keep playing the game?
And like, because it's a first-person shooter, it means that the levels are like, it'll have like a big-ish open area, and then there'll be like a corridor off that then leads to like another open area.
Yeah. Right.
But there's stuff like, hey, there's vines you can climb up. I didn't know that until I was wandering around a level for ages and accidentally just hit a wall that I went up and was like, huh?
It's great to know that the Turok tradition has stuck around.
Is it, when you're climbing, is it the classic, you walk up to the wall and then it's kind of just keep pushing up, or is it you get to the wall,
you press A.
You
have to walk up to the wall and then angle your camera slightly up. If you just walk straight into it, you won't climb, but you have to look slightly
up. Does he make this noise? Because I think this happens in Turok 2. It's either Turok 2 or Duke Nukem.
There's not that many noises.
I think that's Duke Nukem.
Not that many noises.
Not that many noises.
Any horse dinosaurs?
No.
Is there one piece of music playing in the background that just loops?
No, there's more than one, but it does say something funny when you die.
What does it say?
Because it's what's Turok's name before he becomes Turok?
It's
Tarzan. Tileset.
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 That's the one.
TAL'SET.
Why does he change his name?
I think because
he becomes
Turok is like a. Oh, like Turok's a Shazam situation.
It's a title. He
meets the sort of space princess who says that he's going to go fight that.
Is that a joke or is it literally?
No, there's a space princess.
The hub for Turok 2 is like a big
weird. A space princess.
Yeah, you get to climb around.
Up on her arms, that's where the vendors are. Down by her legs, that's a quest giver.
But you're in like weird.
Climbing up her nose to get to the secret section.
Area.
Yeah.
Noses are a secret area. That's true.
But yeah, whenever you die, just as Tileset has died.
And Tileset has died.
So in the second level, you're flying on the back of a tricep. No.
Pterodactyl?
Pterodactyl.
Yeah.
And it's one of those classic flying missions.
Oh, yeah. You gotta fly through any rings?
You don't.
Do you use the turret that they all had on their backs?
It shoots out of their mouth, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's bombs as well.
Oh, that's great.
Heat-seeking missiles.
Is it the... It's the PS3 where every single game would have a turret section, yeah?
Yeah. It was a long period. I think it started in PS2.
Because Star Fox Adventure and Turok both have turrets and both have flying sections.
That's so good.
Is anybody, do you enjoy a turret section? I've never enjoyed
a
turret section in my life.
It's a very old, they got rid of it for good reason.
It's extremely boring for me.
Well, yeah, because they used to mess them up a little bit, too. Like, Dead Space famously has a turret. Is it Dead Space or Dead Space 2? One of them has a turret section that's pretty much unbeatable.
No.
Well, it's not. It just requires too much skill.
Well, that's the way they would do it. You would just get waves of enemies that you had to take out. But after a while, it gets pretty tiresome. Yeah.
This one ends with you having to blow up an airship, but it doesn't... Again, the game doesn't tell you how to... So I didn't know I had missiles that I could use until I got to the boss and was like, wow, I'm taking a lot of damage and dying really quickly. And then I was like, oh, what's this 20 logo down here? And then I pressed every button on the controller and then
fired off some heat-seeking missiles.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay.
Pterodactyls are born with only 20 heat-seeking missiles.
They're born with all the heat-seeking missiles they'll ever have.
Although in the flying, there's just a lot of weird stuff with the Turok game. Because, like, there was another thing that I found pretty funny, which is in the flying sections, there's balloons with, like, a health symbol on them. They're, like, hot air balloons.
Mm.
And you don't fly into the balloon part. You fly into their cargo.
Oh,
and
yeah.
For health, it's a dead dinosaur.
I guess the implication is you're eating it?
Yeah.
Does it have a co-op or a multiplayer mode?
It does have a multiplayer mode,
Maybe this is the one I've played then. Is the multiplayer mode, you can just do like a regular, like an FPS match, but you can also do a pterodactyl fight together?
Oh,
maybe. That's the one I remember playing, I mean, not heaps, but at least more than once on my friend's old Xbox back in the day. It was a new Xbox then.
I think it is. The GameCube was that era where every game had to have a multiplayer thing.
Yeah, because you had four
big chunky, you know, dukes.
Both Xbox and GameCube had four controller inputs.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's see the multiplayer for you.
Because I think, I played a decent bit of that. I played a couple of FPSs back in the day on that friend's Xbox.
There's a mode called Flight, which is fight to the death on the backs of,
That'll be the one I played. Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah. The game stinks, but it's
PU,
but
stinky.
It's funny.
But it is funny and it is weirdly charming.
Yeah. It's like everything on the GameCube, kind of.
No, because the GameCube has some legitimately good games. Like Wind Waker doesn't stink.
Yeah, that's true.
Star Fox doesn't stink.
I mean, it's charming. The charming part is kind of the GameCube special in a way.
Yeah. And it is funny that, like, the game, you just start with a club at the start of the game, and it doesn't tell you you've already got a bow and doesn't tell. Again, it's the instruction booklet era.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I don't know if
it's all been in there, dude.
All the instruction booklet's got every weapon, a little bit of details about it. It's got the story, basically, as well.
There's a lot of voiced cutscenes in this game.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I truly think if there's ever a Turok remake, which I think maybe there's one on the horizon.
I think that got canceled.
Either way, I do not think anybody will be able to recapture the magic of Turok. I think it's such a very specifically of its era.
Yeah.
Where
you can't do Turok anymore. You can only do Far Cry Blood Dragon.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. A game like Turok is so earnestly stupid, in a way that is so beautiful.
You can only
and
do it tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
now, yeah.
Exactly. But back in the day, because I think that's the thing. Back in the day, in the Turok multiplayer, you could be a velociraptor.
Mm.
And that wasn't a silly thing.
Yeah.
That was just cool.
Actually, I tell a lie. I feel like that era is kind of coming back a little bit. There are a few games I feel like. I think it's got a name like Blood or Dust or something like that.
Oh, yeah, true.
I think those sorts of games are maybe making a little bit of a resurgence.
I think the struggle that a Turok remake will have will be the same struggle that the Ghostbusters franchise has, where people bring it back and think it's important and then try and make a movie that says it's important. A reverential sequel, I've heard them called.
Yeah, I think the trick is you're not going to get a Turok like it used to be, but you will get someone making a game that is like what Turok used to be.
I can play a good Turok-like, but I will never get
an indie studio can take that risk, but
I think there's a Duke Nukem-like coming out soon that I've had but I forget its name.
There was already
Turok movie from 2008.
That's awesome.
Made by... Is that an Uwe Boll?
U-Boll, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Stars Media put it out.
Hell yeah.
It's directed by people that don't have clickable links on Wikipedia.
That's always good. Always a good sign.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
What was I going to say?
I don't know,
kind of been important.
Nothing good.
Yeah, probably.
Welcome to Thumb Cramps. So Turok Evolution, is it good? No. Was it funny to play? A bit.
Will you keep playing it?
Maybe, only because I stopped playing right at the start of a new level that I haven't had a chance to explore properly.
Fair.
But it was a level that straight away I pressed a button and it was like, switch one of two. And I was like,
oh, brother.
Oh, no. Yeah. And also, I got more GameCube games
to
play.
That's true. You can't stop here.
You can't stop here. And also, like, Star Fox is still calling me.
Yeah. Oh,
out of the three games I have played so far for FebuameTube, the game I'm most likely to go back to is Star Fox Adventures.
That's very interesting. Because I
And I think the game I'm least likely to go back to is Time Splitters 2.
Really?
But I think it's because with Time Splitters 2, I beat probably like close to half the missions.
Yeah.
So like I've seen pretty much everything the game has to offer.
You're kind of, you've done it.
You've done Time Splitters.
You haven't finished it, but you've done it.
Although I have in my head somewhere, and I don't know if this is true, but that the back half of Time Splitters gets crazy.
This was like a trick to get me to play more Time Splitters.
I don't care. I've never liked Time Splitters.
Yeah. Anyway.
I've only ever played it at arcades though.
Well, that's certainly a different
game. You get the
game.
Time Splitter with the light gun?
That's Time Crisis.
Can I Jeff right now? Will you allow me one for this moment?
No, you need to sit in
If I Jeff, you get one, don't you?
No.
Throw me a bone.
No.
Throw me a bone.
No.
Throw me a bone, Adam.
Stop
it. It's a big dog.
Yeah.
That dog's actually barking. I don't know what you've been doing.
My dog's sick.
Turok. Evolution.
Oh, yeah?
Not Seeds of Evolution, just Evolution. Turok Evolution. Two thumbs and a knock, but it is weird. The dinosaurs surrender, and that's messed up. So, you know what? Four thumbs.
Hell yeah. More
and
games
it took
should
me,
involve-
It took me too long to realize that's what they were doing, so I definitely did.
Four thumb and a knock for breaking the Geneva Convention. That's
what
great.
What other games give you that option?
A dinosaur
soldier. So many
Adam,
games.
A dinosaur soldier.
Dinosaur soldier specifically? That's different,
That's
obviously.
Different. That's special. Wow. Four thumbs and a knock for Turok
Evolution.
Four
thumbs and a knock.
No,
I thought he said
two,
just
four thumbs.
Four thumbs.
Okay, four thumbs. Still, that's huge.
You're trying to up the average.
Turok's my guy.
Someone,
I simply must.
Someone here is shilling for Turok.
You know it, baby. I changed my name. I changed my first and surname. Call me Turok. Turok.
I'm trying to find out if people talk about
the fact that they surrender.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Can you like? I think what would make me feel more comfortable is if I could handcuff them. You know, once they'd surrendered, I handcuffed them, then I don't think they're going to come back and get me. But yeah, I don't know if you can do that.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know, but it is funny. It's funny. It's just a funny thing that they programmed in.
Yeah.
Don't
know why?
Make the dinosaur soldiers get scared and drop their gun and surrender.
It's also pretty funny that in the prequel they do that, but later on they're like, no, I'm no surrender.
Yeah. Anyway, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a funny little game called, it feels like a French title, but I don't know if it is. Jusant.
Jusant.
J-U-S-A-N-T. So it's, I was playing it on Game Pass, I'm pretty sure. Mm. And it's, maybe I wasn't, I don't know. Anyway, so it's a, what intrigued me, this freaking Porky Pig over here.
That's
all, folks. What intrigued me about it is that it reminded me a little bit of Journey.
Yeah.
And that
it is specifically a climbing game. So the basic premise.
Yes, I do know this game. Sorry.
So excited.
Please keep going.
The basic premise is you're a person.
It's a French title. It means ebbing tide.
There you go.
Why does Jusant mean
Jusant?
Ebbing Jusant? Tide? Why do they have a word?
Got a cute little guy. Why didn't you lead with that?
Well, I don't care for the cute little guy.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Cute little. Hey, gamers. Maybe this is, you know, this is heretical. Cute little guys do nothing for me in a video game. You know
you
what else?
You love the fox in that game.
What game?
The where you're the
called,
little girl and the fox. We played it together.
Yeah, is it called Alone on the Ice or something? I did like the fox, but not because it's a cute little guy. I like because I was the fox.
Wow.
If I just had the fox, I wouldn't care for it. You know another thing I don't care for in video games? Mm-hmm. Patting a dog. I don't give a shit.
Shoot the dog.
Who cares?
What if it lets
you
shoot the dog?
Oh, you can't pat the dog? Grow up.
What if it lets you shoot the dog?
That's awesome. That's why I like Shadow Man, because for some reason the enemies in the real world are dogs. Anyway.
You like The Last of Us Part 2 as well. People didn't like that, but that makes you kill dogs.
You kill dogs in so many games.
You get so excited when the dog has a name.
Yeah.
And you shoot it. Sorry, I need to qualify,
Dogs are the like default enemies. They're the rats. They're like one up from rats.
They're big rats. They're like... You know how, like in games, they go like, "Oh, this is the basic enemy," and then like, "Oh, this is like the juiced up version of the basic enemy." Yeah, rats and dogs.
Dog.
This
exactly.
is slander. I
rat
can't believe you're doing
guy.
This.
That's how it goes.
Yeah,
anyway,
guys shoot back.
Yeah, well, but rat dog guy with sword, guy with gun.
Yeah,
huge guy
with two guns.
Monster.
Yeah, god.
Anyway, so
it's developed by a studio called Don't Nod, who I believe made Life is Strange.
Oh, really?
Let me double check that.
That's cool. So, yeah, you're a person, and you basically come across this gigantic tower. It's it's like an island, basically. So it's not like a man-made tower, though it is full of like man-made cities and structures.
Yeah.
And it's gigantic, and I've not made it all the way to the top, and your only goal is get from the bottom to the top, and you go through various biomes, and each biome has its own sort of like little challenges.
A very popular genre of game nowadays.
Yeah.
A lot of climbing games.
But go up.
Yeah, exactly. But I like this one. So the way the climbing works is that you kind of do it with the triggers.
Mm.
You do it with the triggers and with your... Because climbing in games, I mean, like in Uncharted, say, it's literally... Assassin's Creed, exactly. But I quite like this one because the way it works is you aim up, your guy puts out his little hand, you trigger to grab. And then you aim up and the trigger to grab, and then slowly you move up like that. Climbing a ladder looks like this. Where you're just slamming your fingers on the triggers.
That's real Octodad hours.
It feels, sometimes it does have an Octodad vibe.
World's dadliest catch.
Is it? Because there are two, in my mind, there are two genres of games focused on climbing.
Yes.
And the two genres are A, oh no, and B, thoughtful, calming experience. Where is this game in
well,
that
it,
in
I
that
think
dichotomy?
It does a pretty good job of sort of striking, not right in the middle, but it's thoughtful calming with enough oh no to keep it interesting.
Okay, all
right. So the first couple of areas, it's just about kind of like platforming and figuring out where you're going and kind of exploring. There's a lot of stuff that isn't really for me as somebody who doesn't really care for story.
Sure.
So like there's a lot of like
people with names.
No, there's no people, but it'll be like you found a journal and then you get like a cutscene where they read the journal. Or, and this is my least favorite, if you find a conch, like a shell, you blow it and then you get a sort of soundscape of what that area was like when there were people still there. So it'll like cut to like some pots and there'll be like the sounds of pots jangling, and then it'll cut to like a fishing net and there'll
that
be the sound of fish or whatever.
It's very interesting because I feel like, and obviously I'm wrong, so I...
Correct.
obviously.
Be nice. I am now finding out, because I would have just assumed that that is the sort of storytelling that you would have really vibed with.
Well, it is, but what I don't like is that it interrupts the gameplay for me, because the gameplay, I just want to keep going on.
Sure.
But it just stops, and then it does it like three times, and then I can go back to playing.
Mm.
And there's a bunch of other little collectibles, like there's little cans that if you, C-A-I-R-N-S, not C-A-N-S, where if you activate them, they just crumble a bit, and you know like rocks piled on top of each other.
Yes.
Cans.
I wasn't following along with the spelling, so I got confused.
You have a little guy on your shoulder called Ballast, who is a being made of water.
Mm-hmm.
Cute little guy in question. He functions... So the theme of the game is very like environmental, like as in you sort of climate changey. You actually, when you approach the tower, you're approaching from a seabed where the sea has disappeared. And as you climb the tower, you see as the sea sort of like lowered, basically. So clearly at one point it was high up on the tower, and slowly it's lowered. And as it's lowered, the civilization has moved down the tower. So there's kind of coral and boats and stuff on all the different levels. And so ballast you can use to reactivate nature, which basically just means vines and stuff will grow that you can then climb.
Cool.
Some of the challenges do get not super tricky, but they get, again, enough oh no to keep you going. So there's one where it's you're on a really hot side of the tower where the sun's hitting.
Oh no.
And so you get tired more easily, which is kind of cool. Like your stamina lowers quicker if you're in the sun. And also when you use ballast to activate nature, you'll like grow a plant, there'll be like a bunch of thorns in the wall, and then because the sun's so hot, the thorns, they're only there for a limited amount of time, so you kind of got to be quickly clambering up them before they crumble away.
Do you agree with this take by Eurogamer whilst playing an
I
early
I often
preview?
Agree with Eurogamer, so let's hear it.
Enjoying the climb. So Eurogamer, obviously, this would be their specialty, because France is in Euro. Yeah.
They know what they're talking about.
Shockingly positive.
Yeah.
The squeezing of the triggers makes it densely physical. I feel, in some way, the exhaustion of the climber because I am gripping this thing alongside them. Did you feel like you were climbing alongside the Jusant guy?
There was one bit where almost. So one mechanic I think this is a really cute, fun idea, is on one of the walls, on one of the little biomes, one of the things you can climb are like these little bugs that are moving across the side.
Okay.
They look like a handhold, but they're like a little bug. And you grab it and you move with the little bug as it goes towards
its
hole or whatever. But because it's going somewhere, you have to be really careful and try and climb somewhere else while it's sort of going down. Mm. So holding down the triggers for a really long time, trying to hold on to the bug, and then dropping and trying to grab the triggers again really quickly, kind of felt, you know, in a way, like I was
you were climbing alongside.
But not massively. Johnny Jusant.
Yeah, Johnny Jusant.
Another fun mechanic that I really like is you can place down pitons. Mm-hmm. So if it's a really tall sort of tower, you can, or a section of the climb, you can be like, I need a break. You slam a piton, and you can just dangle, and you get your stamina back.
That is cool.
It's a really chill, very relaxing game. So it's kind of nice to just chuck on and just keep climbing the tower a little bit. Mm.
Do you agree with what Rock Paper Shotgun said?
I often do, dude.
Where they said,
is this a new segment?
Jackson agree with the video game reviewers of our time?
I'm not saying I dislike. If anything, I like it. I'm just asking.
So for the last 2 weeks, I've decided to record episodes with my laptop in front of me, which I think is
dangerous.
Yeah, it could be a thing that we stop doing pretty soon. Yeah, because Rock Paper Shotgun said, like an actual archaeologist, you sometimes make informed guesses, fill in some blanks with gut instinct, and tread carefully. Did you feel like a real archaeologist playing this game?
I don't know if they're talking about figuring out the story or figuring out where to go.
The open-ended nature of the game's narrative.
Yes, I don't know. I think people
should start emailing in with... Jackson, when you were talking about this the other day...
Do you agree?
Do you agree with X-Reviewer when they say...
Like, I mean, PC Gamer said you can feel that Jusant wants you to make this climb. Do you agree?
Yeah, do you agree?
Well, that's the game. I mean, weird if they didn't.
Some games do offer the question, should you be
that's
here?
That's true, that's true. I definitely feel like I should.
I mean, Super Meat
Boy. So you agree?
I suppose. I don't like what this... This feels like a trap.
I mean, some games don't want you to succeed.
That's true, that is true.
Like, Super Meat Boy wants you to die in real life.
Yeah. I've heard that.
I feel like Celeste, even though that is really hard, it does want you to succeed.
Yeah.
Binding of Isaac wants you to die in real life as well.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Fortnite wants to take your money in real life.
Yes, that's true.
I think
most
of the Souls games want you to win. I think Dark Souls 2 maybe more than the others, but they want you to succeed.
The two, like Zelda games, they want you to succeed. Yeah. Majora's Mask, I don't think, wants you to.
No, it doesn't want you to win.
Really? Interesting.
It's a nasty
Why would you
game.
Say that? Why do you say that? What about
the vibe
it?
Of the game is just like,
it's
just
like, stop.
You're stuck here. Don't worry about it. There's nothing you can do.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Are there any, because I feel like the reason I ask about Zelda is because a lot of those sort of Nintendo games, I kind of assume by default they want you to succeed. So I have a question. Are there any Mario games you feel don't want you to succeed? Yeah.
That's a great question.
Donkey Kong 94 or whatever.
What's Donkey Kong 94?
Donkey Kong 94!
Do you mean 64?
Nope.
Oh, I know what you mean. Yeah, that game doesn't want you to win.
Or is it Donkey Kong 93?
Yeah,
I mean Mario.
It is Donkey Kong 94.
Nicely done.
So, on the Game Boy, they released a port of Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
The game where you climb up.
I might have played this. Hang on, I gotta look this up. Go on, keep going.
So, Donkey Kong. The arcade classic.
Yeah.
There's only three or four levels of that. Anyway, this game is advertised as a port of that. Then all of a sudden you finish those levels and it turns into a totally different game.
Oh no, I have
That's
not played
awesome.
This game.
Donkey Kong 94.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Donkey Kong begins with four levels found at the original arcade. Mario reaches the top, saves Pauline. After these four initial stages are completed, the usual arcade ending begins.
Mm-hmm.
But after a few notes of the victory theme, Donkey Kong comes back to life, grabs Pauline again, and takes off with her. Mario giving chase.
Yeah.
The player is then presented with an additional 97 levels.
That game does not want you to
win. They should have called that Donkey Kong 100, dude.
And when you beat
Donkey Kong, gotcha.
When you beat the last boss is a mutated larger Donkey Kong.
Whoa, that's awesome. Bring that back.
I gotta play this game. Why isn't it on...
Like a
why haven't
e-shop
they put it on
something?
The Switch?
Because Nintendo... secretly only wants to release games where they want you to win.
Yeah, that's true.
Anytime another game is released, it's a subversion.
Nintendo love to do subversions to the point where sometimes the subversions become normal.
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, Donkey Kong 94. Yeah, I got to play it.
Jusant, it's really good. I don't know if this is just... I think in video games it's hard to... This is going to sound truly insane.
Yeah.
Ever feel like you're very high up?
No, I kind of get that.
Like, you're never getting vertigo from a video game. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if that's just like
Not enough games play with the vertical.
Yeah, so even though I'm really high up in the game, and you can look down and you can see where you were lower on the tower, I really wish I got a sense of being high up and in a sort of fragile, sort of stressful situation.
Is it the same feeling? I'm just trying to find common... common connection for us here. A game that I know that you've played, Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Now, I assume at some point you've been in power armor and jumped from somewhere really high.
Yeah.
That is just the first time that anything comes to mind of me being like, I am really high. Because every time I jump somewhere high in power armor, I know I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
But my sphincter clenches right before I hit the ground because I'm like, it's too high, it's too high.
The only video game I have ever played that has made me feel like I'm up really high was The Last of Us Part 2.
Okay.
There's a part where you're walking over, like, between two skyscrapers, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And you feel so high. Even the Spider-Man games, I'm like, who cares?
You don't feel high up.
Yeah, I kind of assume Spider-Man's going to be fine. I don't assume my Fallout person is going to be fine.
Well, is it just that with these other games, there's no threat of death? Like, with Spider-Man, you're like, I'll be okay if I hit the ground. But maybe in The Last of Us Part 2 or Fallout, you don't necessarily. Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
I don't know. You do get a brief moment in Jusant of, like, not vertigo, but like, oh, if you make a jump, but you run out of sort of your and then you fall really far. But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's really hard to get that sense of being very high up in a game. So it does kind of lose that, and I kind of, in a way, wish the biomes were a little bit more different.
Right.
They do feel pretty similar. The music's really nice, and the basic gameplay is good. I think the little ballast on your shoulder and that mechanic is, like, kind of very whatever. It doesn't feel very interesting. It's just sort of like... I don't know. You've made another thing that you need to do to climb. I don't know. But overall, I quite like it. I'd probably go maybe 3 thumbs and a knock.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, if you want a chill game, somewhat similar to Journey, but nowhere near as simple and pretty, but still with that kind of calming nature, yeah, give it a go.
I just checked in with how mutated and big Donkey Kong is for the final boss of Donkey Kong 94. He looks the same, but he's very big.
Show us?
Don't worry about it.
I can't remember. Imagine Donkey Kong, but big. I'm there.
You only see his fists and his head. He's that big.
Whoa! That is big.
Also, the gameplay looks very weird. Mario keeps doing handstands. I don't know what's going on.
Whoa.
Donkey Kong 94. Let me know. Is it good?
Well, you reckon they should bring out Donkey Kong 99, like Tetris 99, but Donkey Kong?
They absolutely should. But Donkey Kong 94 is proto Mario v Donkey Kong.
Oh, I see.
So they based those games off
that. I played quite a bit of Donkey Kong v Mario.
You mean Mario v Donkey Kong?
Oh, it's all the same.
Did you play Mario v Donkey Kong March of the Minis?
No, just the first one, I think.
Well, the first one's being remade for the
Switch.
Yeah,
I know. I'll definitely play
it again. When this episode comes out, the game is out.
Oh!
I got a review code for it, I think.
Give it to me.
We'll see if it's come through. Adam, what have you been playing?
I have been playing Stalker Shadows of Chernobyl.
And what does Stalker stand for? Do you want me to find out? I got a laptop in front of me. Stalker game.
Hang on.
Tall and...
What? Does
Lanky.
Stalker stand for? It stands for scavengers, trespassers, adventurers, loners, killers, explorers, and robbers, aka the things you do in the game.
Whoa.
That's awesome. Yeah. Jackson, does it feel good to know that you are, like, represented in this game?
Which one?
With the owl loners?
Dude, I'm more loathsome than a loner.
Loners are one of the best factions. Yeah. Ironically enough, the loners are a faction that is very prevalent throughout the game.
Oh, so does that represent, like, actual factions?
No, there's just a faction called the loners.
I see.
They're called bandits.
Yeah.
There's another faction that I guess is kind of like the robbers in Stalker.
Stalkeb.
Sorry?
Stalkeb.
Stalkeb.
Like bandits instead of robbers,
Stalkeb. Stalker as an acronym feels heaps like backfill on a story.
It's a freaking backronym, baby.
It's very funny as well because I don't know... I don't think they in game. So a lot of the game is either in Russian or Ukrainian. I don't know, but
it would probably be Ukrainian.
I think it's both.
They are a Ukrainian developer.
The developers are Ukrainian, but I do know that some characters speak Russian. So it's
Set in Chernobyl, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's in Ukraine.
Mm. Yeah, some of the...
But it's near Russia.
But it is near... Well, yeah,
as
that
we
was...
famously know.
Yeah, yeah, that was a whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I do know that there is a Ukrainian dialect as well. There's a, apparently, there's a lot of depth to the game yeah. with language specifically, that cool. because I am not a native speaker, I do not understand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't understand some of the story because all of the ambient dialogue is in...
Oh, I see. And there's no translation?
Yeah, there's no translation for the ambient dialogue, but yeah. when you're talking directly to someone, a lot of it, sometimes they'll speak, they get like an English voice actor,
yeah.
but a lot of it dialogue is just text.
That's cool.
Which is, it's also stressful because the game does not pause when you're talking to someone.
Good stuff.
And there'll be this really scary thing that happens because the game's also super lethal.
Yeah.
There'll be this really funny thing that happens where I'll be talking to someone and then I'll see them take out their gun and turn away from me. And I'll be like, I know what's about to happen. So you play a person with amnesia.
Uh-huh.
You are in a, they call it a death bus, but no one wants to talk either. I've encountered two types of people
yeah.
who talk about death buses. Either people who are like, we don't know what the death buses are, or people who are like, I don't want to talk about the death buses.
Do you just...
It's never explained. I looked it up.
Wait, but like, does the game start with you on the death bus?
Yeah, you are on a death bus. It explodes.
Oh, okay. Fabulous.
Presumably, it's set in the, specifically in the Chernobyl, what do you call it? The exclusion zone Chernobyl, which is the area that you are not allowed to go in because it's radioactive. And it's kind of alt history where Chernobyl has this awful, the not just radiation, but there are these anomalies, which are weird phenomena that happen, and they're a huge hazard.
Yeah.
You get an entire item slot, which just is little bolts that you throw ahead of you, which, because the anomalies are not always visible.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're super visible. And you throw the bolt, and then it will trigger the anomaly. So you're kind of always...
throwing them ahead of you?
Yeah. Well, you're always head on a swivel because people will kill you like that.
Yeah.
And then also the game does this delightful thing where I'll see a figure in the distance and I'll be like, is that, what faction do they belong to? How will I know, they've started shooting, they are an enemy?
That's cool.
How long have you been playing this game for? Is this your first playthrough of it?
This is the first time I've ever played it. I have...
Have you played the Metro games?
I have played the Metro games, yeah.
Because this feels very similar to Metro. Yeah.
It's funny you should say that. So the developer of Stalker, it was started by this like 16-year-old guy in an apartment.
Hell yeah.
Which... an incredible beginning to any sort of development company. The story goes, I don't know how true this is, but the story goes that he made a lot of money on the back of Stalker and then did not pay people very well. So a bunch of them spun off, made their own studio that makes the Metro games.
Oh, that's cool. That's funny because the Metro games are based off a series of Russian sci-fi novels, and then Stalker is also based off a series of Russian sci-fi novels. So it's very funny that they branched off and were like, well, we can't do the roadside picnic sci-fi. Mm-hmm. What other classic pieces of Russian sci-fi are that we could turn into a game?
Both games are great. I really enjoyed Metro 2033, and then I think there's three games, and I've played one and three.
I played a bit of three, but I've played one,
and I was like, oh... this requires me to pay way more attention than I'm currently doing. I should come back to this. And I never did. Yep,
that's
Metro,
fair.
The Metro series is until the third one. The third one's a bit open world.
Yeah.
But the first one, and I've heard two, are very linear.
Yeah.
Stalker is basically, for the most part, open world. There's kind of, you discover areas in a linear-ish fashion. But when you're in an area, you can kind of go anywhere and there'll be ambient quests and stuff like that. Factions will roam around naturally and encounter each other naturally. And, oh boy, every combat is scary, especially in the early game. Oh, yes, I was going to say, so you'll be delighted to know I'm doing two different playthroughs of this game.
Of course!
So...
why?
So... I decided that I wanted to play... reading about it, people are like... divided into two camps. There's a lot of people who are like, play it unmodded for the first time. And there are people who are like, do not play it unmodded for the first time.
So you're playing it modded and unmodded.
Yes, those are my two playthroughs.
That's crazy.
I'm doing basically the... There are different factions and you can align with different factions. And I'm going to... For the most part, I'm starting out aligned with the loner faction, which are kind of the beginner faction. But then there are higher level ones, and you can pick sides there. And then I'll probably, in my different playthroughs, pick different sides. Yeah. So the... Yeah, anyway.
Just, that's awesome.
It's so funny. You approach Choose Your Own Adventures as I choose every adventure.
If you have a Choose Your Own Adventure book, do you like also have like a thing of sticky, whatever they're called, like sticky notes so you can figure out where you were and go back?
I would do that, yes. When I was younger, yes. Why do you ask?
No reason.
Yeah, it just checks out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so every combat is super scary. This is the first game I've ever done that has actually made zombies scary.
Oh, cool.
For the first, I want to say, I don't know how many hours I've put into the game, but I want to say for the first maybe 10 to 15 hours in both playthroughs, across both playthroughs, I wasn't sure if zombies could be killed.
Oh, that's cool.
Because I had like a shotgun.
Yeah.
I'd blast them with the shotgun. They'd fall over. The first time that happened, I'm like, okay, cool.
You got him.
I did notice, though, the first time I ever fought one and the first time they ever fell over, it's the way things die is they do like a ragdoll, you know, the classic Skyrim, you hit them and the body chaotically moves about. But when the zombie died, it had like a death animation.
Whoa,
I was like, that feels that's weird. Yeah. So I waited for a second and sure enough, it got back up.
Oh, dude.
And I plugged away at this thing, I want to say for a solid minute.
Oh my God.
Until I just gave up. And then I left.
Far out.
And it wasn't until hours and hours later that the zombies were fighting some other enemy and the other enemy killed it. And I was like, oh, that's a ragdoll. Zombies can be killed. Zombies can die.
God damn. Is it just a matter of damage or do you have
You just got to do a certain amount of damage.
God damn.
And the first time I found out that zombies can have guns.
Oh no.
Because it's a part of the lore stuff. There's like a psychic energy that emanates the area, and becoming a zombie isn't a death thing. It's like it's more a brain death thing.
Yeah, okay.
You get exposed to too much psychic radiation, basically.
Yeah. What is the punishment for death? Because I find that the punishment for death is the things that make games scary for me.
Yeah, that's
so fair. You die very easily and very quickly, which is there's a difficulty system.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the difficulty system only affects how much damage that the guns do.
Okay.
And everyone recommends that even for beginners, you play at the highest difficulty because at lower difficulties, yes, you could take more damage, but enemies take so much more damage as well.
Hmm.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So it's
recommended to be like, everyone dies in one shot because then you can kill enemies quicker.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm going to say, I started at a low difficulty because I was like, what are they talking about? They're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so much scarier, but it makes life so much easier when a headshot kills someone.
I get it. It's like in any Souls game where you see the real pros, they're basically play nude and a sword.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I'm quickest like this. And if I don't get hit, what's the problem? Which I sort of imagine is how that works too.
You can become a zombie and finish the game like that.
That's awesome.
Oh my God.
That's
if you
awesome.
Get exposed to too much psychic radiation, I think the original version of the game, because the rules are slightly different in the two versions I'm playing.
Yeah.
In the original version of the game, the psychic thing was a very context specific. You had to be in a certain area or fighting a certain enemy. But in the mod, they integrate. It was supposed to be just an ambient thing, and they've reintegrated it in the mod. But yeah, you can, and it's scary because becoming a zombie means that everyone is hostile, the game is still finishable.
Does it? Because I remember you back in the day playing the Fallout New Vegas mod Dust.
Yes.
Which is a incredibly high difficulty mod for the game.
Big Dust.
Yeah, it gives you the same kind of energy.
I'm loving it. Every encounter. Oh, and then I think this is a bug. I can't find anyone else mentioning this.
Yeah.
If something is on the other side of the map, I will still hear it like it's next to me.
Okay, that's
so
like
I hear
a
like
bug.
Dog barking in the distance. But it'll be so close. And I cannot be correct, but I can't find anyone else who has this problem.
Huh.
It's real. It makes everything so scary.
Well, because you've got no idea where anything is ever.
Yeah. I won't notice that I'm being shot at until I can see the bullets pinging around me.
Do you have a health? Does it have like the classic first person shooter thing of like you get hit, it comes up with like a red thing on the screen to show you where you've been shot from?
Yes. So the mod makes it a little less obvious, but even in the mod, you still can tell what direction you're being hit from.
So you're playing on the hardest difficulty and you're playing with a mod that makes it harder.
Yes. It's good. And then, and this is a quest
version. Wait, so you're playing both versions, mm-hmm. But one of them's vanilla, right?
Yeah.
So when you play that, you have to uninstall your mod?
No, it's, so the way the mod works is, it does, I have two separate launchers.
Okay.
I can launch it through Steam, and then it's vanilla, and then I have a separate mod launcher. When I launch it like that, it's modded.
You play video games in the wildest ways. I'm surprised every day.
Yeah, I'm doing another playthrough of Baldur's Gate, and it's...
All right.
How many video games are you juggling right now?
It's good. It's great. I love it.
He's a true gamer.
Yeah, he is a true gamer. And like most true gamers, he's turned up every security setting he possibly can, so I can never find out how much of each game he's ever played.
So scary. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So how many thumbs for Stalker?
Five thumbs.
Five thumbs?
For both playthroughs?
Wait, no, isn't there a thing where it's game of the year?
I'll explain the rules. We explained this last episode, but we'll do it again. Five thumbs, uh-huh. That's the highest score you can give.
Yes.
Six thumbs is if you're thinking about maybe it could be your game of the year. You're thinking about possibly making it a game that could possibly be your game of the year.
Yeah.
Seven thumbs mm-hmm. is if you're thinking, this could be my game of the year, but you're not sure yet. Uh-huh. And then eight thumbs
is your third favorite game of the year. Nine thumbs is...
His first game of the year again.
Right.
And then 10 thumbs is your game of the year.
Okay, I don't know what else I'm looking forward to this year, so I'm going to say seven thumbs.
Seven thumbs. Looks
like
on the
it
list.
Could be your game of the year.
But that's... I'm going to be, there's three games in total, and then another one coming out soon.
Well,
and I'm going to be playing those this year as well, probably modded and vanilla as well.
The new one doesn't come out until September this year.
Yeah.
So pretty late.
No, I know what, sorry, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
All right, so five thumbs for unmodded,
okay.
Seven thumbs for modded.
Ooh.
Fair enough.
If anyone's interested, the mod I'm specifically using is called OGSE.
Okay.
Stands for something, don't ask me what.
Ogse.
It stands for Original Gangster Special Edition.
It might.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's very exciting.
Mm.
Speaking of exciting, Jackson.
Someone's been waiting outside this whole time. He's aggressive today.
He wants to come in.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Mr. Rudd, and I am aggressive today.
What's wrong, Mr.
Rudd? I'm pissed off.
Why?
Because they put a clamp on my car, my Rolls Royce.
But you sold that last week to pay off the
mafia.
No,
I got it back.
You got it back. Are the mafia still after you?
Yeah.
Have you sorted out your fish tank problem?
No, it's getting worse.
It's getting worse. Yeah, the aquarium should cut you off.
I've converted the home pool.
To an empty fish tank?
No, just to a place for fish. And dials, i.e. crocodiles. But that's Mrs. Ads is really, I mean, she's ropeable.
Yeah.
She doesn't want any dials or gators in the house.
Yeah.
Is Miss Ads here?
No, I don't think so.
Someone's here. I can hear someone else at the door.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Mrs. Ads.
Oh, my God, Mrs.
Ads. Mr. Ads, I'm sick of your dials. Mrs. Ads, this is not the time.
Whoa, first of all, lovely to meet you, Mrs. Ads.
Hello, everybody.
And also, like, hey, maybe you should, you know, sort this out.
No, your place to get involved, okay?
Wait, but what's that? There's another person at the door?
No, look, there isn't. Here's the ad!
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Well, this is
all right. Bye, Mr. Odds. Bye, Mrs. Odds. Sorry for
I'm dizzy.
Getting involved.
I really used to sort of see those two as an example of marital bliss, yeah. But it's
but the dials are really getting in between.
I wonder who that third person is. I think this is maybe sizzle for something coming up.
I think Mr. Odds said there was no one there.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It sounded like sizzle to me, but all right.
Well, speaking of sizzle, it's time to head to the Thumb Cramps Pod email. At thumbcrampspod at gmail.com.
Is it now?
It sure is. That was for the sizzle.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, this one is from a coward.
Oh, coward alarm.
Coward.
There it is.
Hello, my gamer boyfriends and effervescent guests.
What up?
And the subject is, Jackson should take more showers.
I agree. Couldn't agree more.
So, yes, the coward then goes on to say, I don't shower every day, so Jackson can have an extra shower every other day, as is my allotment. Sincerely, a coward.
Thank you so much for giving me your shower.
Yeah, well, I mean, that works. And when you brought up showers,
yeah.
That was something that you said.
That there is a certain shower math that we do in this world. Mm. And if, you know, globally, everybody's having showers, it's water taken from the same, you know, same reservoir. Sure.
We've got another shower email. This is from Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Showers Jackson forgot.
Okay, thank you, Bob.
In no specific order.
Okay, I'm listening.
Champagne shower.
Whoa, like if you've just won the Grand Prix.
Golden shower.
Oh, if you just won the Grand Prix.
And being showered with love and affection.
If you just won the Grand Prix.
Those all count as Grand Prix showers.
Yeah, it's a very specific subcategory.
Yeah, under the umbrella term.
Yeah, Grand Prix showers.
Yeah.
Babe, I just won the Grand Prix. Also golden shower time? Babe.
Yeah.
Babe, wake up.
And finally for emails, this one's from Ben. Subject, showers and Star Wars. It's a shower-heavy episode.
Okay.
To my sweet gamer boyfriends and eargasmic guests.
Whoa.
That's me. I'm eargasmic.
Yeah.
Happy Febuame-tube.
Thank you. Happy Febuame-tube.
When are we going
too?
To get around to the pod racer for the GameCube, Star Wars Rogue Leader Rogue Squadron 2? Well, Ben, I can't remember if I have that or not. And if I don't have it, I can't play it. And if I want to get it and don't have it,
I'm sure it'll be expensive.
Sorry,
expensive.
That's the new one?
No.
Oh, okay. Because the new one's super cheap. I picked it up recently.
You're talking about Star Wars Squadrons. Yeah. They're talking about Star Wars Rogue Leader Rogue Squadron 2, which is on the GameCube.
This is messed up.
The sequel to Podracer.
They can't do that to names.
The sequel to Rogue Squadron.
What's the sequel to Podracer?
Star Wars, it's like Big Bomba Racing or something.
That's Super Bombad Racing.
That's the sequel to
Podracer.
There's
another sequel to Podracer.
Isn't there Podracer Revenge or something?
Yeah. Podracer Revenge.
They should make a burnout style.
Star Wars Racer
Revenge. In that one, Anakin takes a break from being a Jedi to go back to the track.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That sounds like a joke, and I thought that when Jackson told me that, he was lying to me.
No, he goes back for revenge. It's his revenge.
There's always a nugget of truth in the crap, Jackson. Yeah.
And Ben goes on to say, also, Jackson, in your 10 showers, does facing towards the showerhead or away from the showerhead count as different types of showers?
No, but it is an interesting point of discussion.
Not a coward, Ben. Do you face the shower or away from the shower? I'm an away from the shower guy.
I face, what do you mean? Like, do I face the wall?
I think you want to.
You walk into the shower.
Yeah.
You turn the shower on. Do you stand so that you're facing the taps or like the shower head?
I think facing the taps is deranged.
Some people like it. They like the water on their face.
You want to be in prison? That's a prison activity. Staring at a wall while you shower yourself?
Surely the prison activity is keeping your eyes on the everything but the wall.
Keeping your head on a swivel. No, I think it's crazy to face the taps.
So you think...
I face out. I'm looking at the wall.
I'm drinking it in, dude.
Yeah.
If you were to draw the lines on Jackson, you would see that he faces the world like an alpha.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, seeing what's going on in your bathroom.
Freaking solitary confinement vibes.
A shower alpha.
It's so depressing.
Yeah, I look out of my window too.
Yeah, see what's going on.
Yeah, see what's going on out there.
Sometimes I see, because I'll be in the shower and our window to our backyard, sometimes we'll be people doing work there, and I've locked eyes with a guy once. He looked so shocked. I looked so shocked. Bet he thinks about it to this day. I know I do.
How high up's your window?
Like a second story. And he was just looking up because my window must have been open. He must have heard the shower. He looked up. I looked down. Saw the guy.
So,
locked eyes.
Why does your bathroom not have like... Oh, the window was open.
Yes, the window was open.
I was going to say, why doesn't it have like that classic bathroom glass?
No,
going
no, it was open to let the steam out.
Yeah, and also to let him to ogle let your penis.
Ogle my gaze.
Steam and light out.
So, do you reckon that he saw your dick and nuts?
I think the anger would have been wrong.
Yeah.
But he would have known I was showering.
Did I tell you the story about the grandma that lives behind me that copped an eyeful of my penis and didn't look away?
That's awesome, dude.
So my bedroom's on the second story.
Yeah.
My window was open because it was a hot day.
Mm-hmm.
So my blinds were literally up and I had a shower. And my backyard has trees in it, so usually it's fine. Unless people are standing in one specific spot.
Yeah.
So I walked into my bedroom. It was hot, so I kind of just like ditched the towel straight away. Went over to my window to close it. And there was a grandma standing in that one spot. And she looked up at me. I looked down at her. And we made eye contact. And nice. She didn't break the gaze.
That could have been a sexual encounter for you, I believe.
It could have been a sexual encounter for her.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean.
Joel Dusha, you had the opportunity in this life to bone a grandma.
Well, to bone my neighbor, a grandma.
Whoa, dude.
But yeah.
That's torrid.
Yeah.
Torrid. Oh, he's busting him out today.
That's a torrid affair right there.
Yeah. So yeah, really good stuff.
Great emails.
Really good emails.
Yeah.
Oh, actually. My God, I almost missed this one.
Okay.
And it's very important.
Okay, I'm excited.
Because it changes everything.
Whoa, it's the far out game the email changer. That changes everything.
Subject.
The game changer.
It can possibly be that funny.
What?
Dear video game boyfriends and my favorite thumb cramps guest.
That's me! I'm their favorite thumb cramps guest.
Nice.
Just listen to Sersha's email about a similarly thumb cramps adjacent breakup to mine, and figured you deserve an update.
Oh, I'm excited. Yes.
I'm the Freddy from the train to France. I don't know why I said France like France and not France, who laughed so hard he cried, and whose girlfriend said, the podcast can't possibly be that funny, and then broke up with him shortly after. Turns out she changed her mind and it can possibly be that funny.
Oh!
So the options to me seem that either I'm built different, sorry, Sersha, things just can't help themselves from coming up Freddy, or perhaps this particular thumb cramps curse has finally been broken.
That's amazing.
Can't Incredible. Speak for the thumb cramps curse, which keeps people getting injured, though. That sounds like it still might
That's
be a problem.
Curse.
Considering this a win for thumb cramps, you guys really got to sort out these curses. Lots of love. Freddy from the UK, not a coward.
Freddy, that's crazy.
So this curse potentially broken, but the warning, do not listen to thumb cramps while operating heavy machinery, still
remains in place.
No,
yeah.
If you're operating heavy machinery and you're listening to thumb cramps, your eyes probably need a break too. Give them a shot. Just close them right now. Think about playing Doom 64.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Wow. Have a nap.
Have a nap.
Especially, I always think if I worked in a crane, you know, you're so high up. What can they do?
Yeah, they can't stop you.
That's awesome, Freddie. Congrats.
Yeah, nice. Congratulations on getting back together. Do not show them an episode of Thumb Cramps, though, just in case you wreck it again.
Yes, that's true.
Freddie, you're on tender hooks. You're on thin ice.
Unless.
Maybe this is the episode.
Maybe this is the one that'll, get them.
And yeah, just a reminder, if you do listen to Thumb Cramps and you want your loved ones to experience that also, no, you don't.
No, you don't. You don't want that. You don't want to, which is crazy because some people have listened to us whilst making tender love.
Yeah.
So it takes all sorts.
I don't think I could listen to a podcast while my penis is inside someone.
No, me neither. Nor I.
Mm.
Nor I.
Cowards.
What if it's in a sexual podcast? Like an erotic pod.
A boner cramps, if you will.
Yeah, more erotic than that.
What could possibly be more erotic?
Is there such thing? Well, have you boned to a podcast? Could you?
I won't say.
You won't say. Yeah. That's a no. That's a coward's
way out. Yeah.
I don't know. It's like
having, what's like having other people in the room?
It's like having sex to the radio.
Yeah.
Don't be doing that.
Although, I mean, you know, in a passionate moment, radio's playing in the background.
You're listening to 69 FM.
Okay.
Home of Dave-O and Dave.
If it's the passion.
Dave-O, how good's... Get cop in a root! Yeah, Dave!
Where's the weirdest place you've had sex?
Okay, well,
smell my fingers, Dave-O! Anyway, coming up, Everlong by the Foo Fighters. You're listening to 69 FM. Stay hard!
Well, if it's 60, obviously that's a different situation. That's the sexiest radio station that could exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so you want regular radio. Hello, you're listening to 102.7 ABC FM.
This is the best thing to get Dome 2 ever recorded.
at the risk of making this podcast go over time.
Yeah.
Very quick question. All right, so 69, we all know where everyone's lying in that situation.
Yeah,
one person's lying one way, the other person's lying the other way, both mouths busy.
Yeah. What position is an 11?
That would be spooning.
Mutual masturbation.
No.
I'm thinking reach around.
Reach around? Oh, I can see that. Because you're both
facing the same direction. Sorry?
That's a H.
You're both facing... It's just spooning.
We're doing just numbers here, though.
Spooning's like two sixes.
I'm 66 or 99. I'm seeing the logic on that. Although 99, for some reason, upside down.
Yeah,
66,
yeah.
Upside down, that's spooning.
66.
99, you're spooning wrong side round.
Because 11, you're just lying there.
Why is the bulge in the 6 and the 9 the groin for you and not the head?
Either way.
Well, I'm thinking because the 6 and 9 aren't touching each other either. So an 11 is a reach around. If we're implying that there can still be contact.
I see. Okay, I can see that. Yeah. I was making it a H because of the reaching hand that makes the kind of crossbar in the H.
I understand where you're coming from.
I think an 11 is politely standing in line.
It's like one of those, it's a move, it's just not a sex move.
Yeah.
We talk about sex positions, but there are other positions.
Yeah. Standing, sitting.
Sitting across from someone.
What about 12? Is that a reach around?
I don't think any of them are reach around.
The 12 I know is you're looking reaching. For. I know I'm you're just looking curious. For a reach around real hard, yeah. But...
Well, if you had to reach around,
a number that was the reach around.
Also, what do you mean by a reach around? Because some people
both facing same direction, one person reaching around the other, doing their bits,
hassling genitals.
Yeah, because I was going to say because sometimes people refer to a reach around as eating ass while jerking off the person.
That's a rusty trombone.
Well, it depends on the gender.
Oh, that's true.
We'll be hearing more of that later.
Yeah.
Speaking of things that are good to do.
Yeah, hell yeah.
It's time to head to the Thumb Cramps Reviews, where listeners, you have to give us 5 stars.
You have a moral.
That is our one condition for listening to this podcast.
It is your obligation. Mm-hmm. You get this pod for free, and it would do us such a good turn. Mm-hmm. If you could just go to the podcast app of your choice and give us 5 stars, and if that podcast app lets you write a review, write that review. Mm-hmm. And we will read it out on the podcast
and
like these.
You can bring up whatever you want.
Yeah.
So this one, 5 stars. Good show.
That it?
Good show. Not detrimental to my mental health at all. Just two boys and a guest being very normal every week.
That is true.
Everyone should listen.
That is true about
also,
this
everyone
pod.
Should listen to Joel's band SK11 while they're at it. They're plugging my band for me.
That's
so SK11 true. Is spelled SKXI. It's on Spotify. I listen to it.
Yeah.
And look, hey, you've got beef with a different podcast that's not Thumb Cramps? Give us a 5-star review and we'll air it.
You want to get us involved in something? This is how you do that.
5 stars, restore the butthole cut.
Okay.
Mr. Sunday Movies is a woke coward. I need that red hot comic book movie news shooting straight up my butthole again. Restore the butthole cut. 5 thumbs.
There you go.
So that, there's been a lot of controversy recently with the Weekly Planet changing their theme song.
Oh,
and,
no.
I'm glad that that war has
we got conscripted.
Yeah, it's come to the Thumb Cramps Reviews.
That's brutal.
So remember, it doesn't matter where you listen to the podcast, if it allows you to write a review, hammer 5 stars, write something, we'll read it out.
Yeah.
And Adam, where can people find you?
I am on social media at RetroArchetype. If you look on anyone, I'd probably be there under that.
Nice.
And Twitch.
Yes.
And Twitch under RetroArchetype, one word, but two words put together.
Both of those links will be in the show notes. And Adam, I believe you also host a podcast.
I do indeed.
Two. Yes.
I do indeed. Wow, well, if you've got the link there, I don't need it.
No. The podcast won't be linked below because that's too big of a link.
If you put the entire podcast, if every episode will be in the link, that's fine. No, I host D&D is for Nerds. D-N-D, not ampersand. D&D is for Nerds. Or Beyond the Map, which you can probably also find on our website, sanspantsradio.com.
And just clarifying, it is D ampersand D is for Nerds, not D N D is for Nerds.
You search D N D is for Nerds, you'll find it easier.
We're both, baby. Yeah, it is true.
Both give it
to DND is also, I mean, it is D ampersand, but also in some places it is DND.
We have no consistency on that.
And Beyond the Map, too. Not Beyond the Map, Further Adventures of the Greyhill Free Company is another thing that you do and that I'm on sometimes. And I'm on all of these sometimes, too.
Yeah, I'm on the Greyhill Free Company stuff,
I'm
too.
I'm on that Greyhill Free Company shit, dude.
Hell yeah, brother.
I'm on that shit that killed a wizard.
You allowed to say that one?
Yes.
Shit, yeah, you can say shit, okay? Dude. Shit.
You can say blast and come up a shit.
I remember which shit, one's Jeff.
I just came so hard that I shit. Jeff's F and FC.
Jeff's F and F's clef.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
And thank you so much, everyone, for listening to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps. And as always, gamers, keep on gaming, keep those thumbs cramping, and rub one out for once, eh?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.